Chapter 11. The Honeymoon. Elizabeth welcomed me with love, but there were tears in her eyes when she saw how thin I was. She had also changed. She was thinner, and sadness had marked her face, but she was still the gentle, sweet Elizabeth I loved. Soon after our return to Geneva, my father spoke about my marriage to Elizabeth. We decided that if she agreed, the ceremony would take place in 10 days. The day of the wedding came nearer. I was very nervous, but I covered up my feelings with an appearance of happiness that delighted my father. Elizabeth waited for the day with calmness and pleasure, mixed with a little apprehension. Elizabeth was a beautiful bride, and we were both very happy during the wedding ceremony. Later, there was a large party at my father's house. We were going to spend our honeymoon at Lake Como. We left the party and made our way by boat to Evian, where we would spend the night and continue our journey the next day. Those were the last happy moments in my life. As the boat sailed along the water to Evian, I took Elizabeth's hand, and together we enjoyed the beautiful scenery. But Elizabeth's mood kept changing. One moment she was happy, the next she was quiet and lost in thought. We arrived in Evian later that evening. The sun set as we landed, and the wind, which had been quite strong, changed to a light breeze. As we went ashore, I had a strong sense of imminent danger. Was the monster here already, waiting for me? We landed at 8 o'clock and walked for a short time on the shore. Then we went to our hotel and admired the lovely view. The wind became quite violent again, and suddenly there was a heavy rainstorm. I had been calm all day, but as soon as it became dark, 1,000 fears came into my head. I was anxious and watchful and kept my hand on a gun which I had hidden inside my jacket. Every sound terrified me. Elizabeth saw my agitation. "What's the matter, Victor?" she asked, trembling. "What are you afraid of?" "Be calm, my love," I replied, not wanting to frighten her. "Everything will be fine." I didn't want my wife to see the monster, so I told her to go to bed. I decided I would not join her until I knew where the creature was. She left me, and I walked through the hotel, inspecting every corner where my enemy might be hiding. Suddenly, I heard a loud, dreadful scream coming from our room. I realized the horrible truth, and I stood there like stone, unable to move. There was a second scream, and I rushed into the room. Elizabeth lay across the bed, lifeless, her head hanging down, and her pale, terrified face half hidden by her hair. How blind and stupid I had been. Of course, this was the monster's revenge. This was the most certain way to cause me the suffering I have lived with from that moment, day and night. That last image of my beloved Elizabeth is engraved on my mind and my soul. I embraced her lifeless body, crying with grief and despair. The murderer's fingerprints were on her neck, and the Elizabeth that I loved was gone. I looked up, and there, at the open window, I saw the monster's smiling face. I ran to the window, pulled the gun from my jacket and fired, but he escaped and jumped into the lake below. At the noise of the gun, people rushed into the room. I pointed to the place where the monster had disappeared, and they started to follow his tracks. They searched the whole night, but didn't find him. I tried to help them, but I fell down exhausted. I was carried back to the hotel and placed on a bed. Suddenly, I thought of my father and Ernest. Perhaps the monster had already killed them too. The thought made me tremble all over, but brought me back to my senses. I decided that I had to return to Geneva right away. I kissed Elizabeth for the last time and left. There were no horses, so I made my way home on foot. The wind was strong and it was raining heavily. I could not bear to think of Elizabeth and the happiness I had lost, and the tears rolled down my face. I arrived in Geneva. My father and Ernest were still alive, but the news I brought broke my father's weak heart. He died a few days later in my arms. Now, only Ernest and I remained alive from our busy household. It was my turn to think of revenge. I went to a local magistrate and told him the whole story. I asked him to do everything necessary to capture the monster. At the beginning of my story, the magistrate obviously did not believe me, but as I went on, an expression of horror came over his face and he listened more carefully. He was not convinced that it was possible to catch a creature that could cross seas of ice and live in places that no man could reach. So I took the only possible decision. I would search for the monster myself, and once I found him, I would kill him.